You guys are a tough crowd, huh? Man, the girls, they like to laugh, man. You guys all seem like you're trying to be hard, you know? all right. How's the retreat been so far? Good, good, good. okay. So, like Joshua said, I'm Bob. What's up, Tay? I knew you were going to be here. Actually, I did. Someone told me that they were coming with you. Who's Rita is your mom? Look at that, man. It's a small world. Tell them I said, tell your parents I said, hey. all right. So anyway, I'm excited to be with you guys. I thought we can start with two little like games because I like playing games. And no humans really like long talks. So I will give you like a nice little gem of a talk, a little nugget. But it will take away a little bit of the time of the talk if we start by playing a game. All right. So you guys up for that? All right, so the first one is less physical than the second one. So let's start with the first one. It'll warm you up to being more physical. The second one, you're going to have to put a little bit more power into it. All right, so stand up for this first one. If, some of you guys, so how many people have seen me before? Been here? Okay. So some of you guys may have done this with me before when we've been here, but I'll make it different. This will be the manly edition. but the whole idea with this game, okay, is there's one winner at the end of this game, all right, and that winner gets to take one of these trees back to the room tonight. Yeah. All right, it's a pretty cool prize, I think, just for the night, but still, it's cool. All right, so the way the game works is like this. I say sit down if, and then I say something, and if that statement is true, then, you know, you sit down and you stay seated for the remainder of the game, okay? Everyone understand the rules? All right. So sit down if you have no socks on. Like, we'll start with something easy. So if you have no socks on, sit down. It's got to be someone here. And don't lie to. If you know someone is lying, just turn to them and just punch them right in the stomach, all right? And we'll know that they're lying. All right. All right, look up here. All right, sit down if you've ever been bit by a snapping turtle. All right, I knew there'd be one at least. All right. Wow. All right, yeah, nice. Sit down if you've ever had turtle soup. Snapper soup. All right. It's really good, actually. Sit down if this last hunting season you shot a deer. You shot a deer during the last hunting season. All right. Nice. Studly. All right. Sit down if you have two dogs at home. You got two dogs. One wasn't enough. You have two. Nice, you guys. All right. Sit down if you have ever had more than 10 stitches. 10 stitches. Nice. Nice, boys. All right. let's say total. Sit down if you have ever broke your arm. You ever broke an arm? Wrist count. He said, does wrist count? I mean, it's connected to your arm, so let's go with yes. All right. Sit down if you have ever been bit by a raccoon. All right, here we go. Here's a good one. And think about this, all right? Don't judge them, all right? This isn't the girls' session now. We're in the guys' session. So there may be a fairly good explanation for why this happened. But if you have ever, sit down if you have ever in your life kicked a dog for any reason. Maybe a dog was going to get you. Maybe you're just mad. All right. We'll have to ask him later why he kicked the dog. All right. All right, again, no stories right now. You could save them for later, but if for any reason in your life, joke, serious, you know, to get yourself out of a life or death situation, you've ever punched another person in the face, sit down. All right, nice, nice. Impressive. All right, ask about it later. All right, here we go. Sit down if you have ever driven a motorcycle. Ever driven a two-wheeled motorcycle? All right. Here we go. Sit down if at home you have a pet mouse. No. It's like your pet. It's not like your house has mice in it. All right. Sit down if you purposely did not pack a toothbrush this weekend. Sit down if you accidentally didn't pack a toothbrush this weekend. All right, nice. All right. Sit down if you brought a bunch of candy for this weekend. Brought a bunch of candy with you for this weekend. Wow, all these health nuts. All right. Sit down if in the last 2 weeks you went to the movie theater. Movie theater in the last 2 weeks. All right. Sit down if you have gotten your haircut in the last 2 weeks. You got your haircut in the last 2 weeks. All right. Here we go. Sit down if you have ever stabbed a raccoon. Nice. These are all things I've done, yes. Yeah. All right. Sit down if you've ever accidentally stabbed yourself. Nice. Just kidding. All right. Sit down. Nice, dude. All right. Sit down if this morning you had a glass of milk. Glass of milk this morning. All right. Nice. He was thinking about lying, but thank you for telling the truth. What is it? Coffee creamer does not count. No. That does not count. Okay. Sit down if, here we go. Sit down if in the last year you've gotten in a car accident. You've gotten in any kind of car accident in the last year. All right. Doesn't matter if it was your fault. Just any kind of car accident. Were you guys in the same car? Hit that, dude. That's nice. Nice. All right. Sit down if you're wearing yellow socks right now on purpose. They're not like white socks that are dirty. They're yellow. Intentionally yellow. All right. Sit down if you are wearing a bracelet, any kind of bracelet on your wrist. Yeah, that counts as a bracelet. Who shows you a bracelet and says, does this count? No, that's not a bracelet. Yeah, I know. There's a good reason for it, but it's still a bracelet. All right, sit down if in one of your pockets you have a rosary right now. You have a rosary in your pocket. All right. All right, sit down if within this school year, okay, you have puked. You've puked so far. Like you had the flu, some reason you puked. Someone punched you in the belly. All right. No, it's different than puking. All right. Sit down if the house you live in or apartment you live in is blue. It's blue, the color blue. All right. I knew I'd get you. All right. Sit down if your dad's name, think of your dad right now, if his name starts with the letter M. Your dad's name starts with the letter M. All right. Sit down if your middle name, think of your middle name right now, has the letter I in it. Oh, our winner right here. What's your name? Nate, this is going back to your room tonight, bro. So you can't take it home, but make sure you bring it back in the morning, all right? All right, so stand up. We got one more game. This one I like because it's a little active, all right? So I'm going to have to show you a demonstration. Actually, sit down for the demonstration so you can see. All right, sorry, I know. So Daniel, come on up here real quick. All right, so Daniel's going to show you how to do this, all right? So what's going to happen is you're going to do this with another person. If you win, then you will face someone else. You see what I'm saying? If I beat Daniel, Daniel will sit down, and then I'll play John. All right. If I beat John, John will sit down, and that's what would happen. I would beat everyone, but I'm not going to play. All right. But how it works is like this. So Daniel, put that foot facing it. Nope, that foot. This way. Yeah. So some of you guys, and it's not finger fencing. All right. So put it like nice and smooth against my foot. All right. Now grab my arm like this. All right. Now the way it works is like this. Your 2 feet are shoulder width apart. All right. So don't let me see someone do this. All right. And don't stand like this. All right. Just about shoulder width apart. All right. And the object is to move the other person. If I pick up either of these feet, I lose. Okay. So you can't move your feet. You can pull and you can push, but you can't do this. You can't use other parts of your body. You can't go like that. Okay, I can only pull him or push him. Now, it doesn't have to do just with your size, all right? Because my buddy who's small, he beats me a lot because, like, if I go to push him, he'll just pull. Like, you know, so go to push me, Daniel. Like, and I just keep pulling him forward, you know what I mean? Like, if like he would lose right there, okay? Sometimes you'll go flying. Sometimes you just move one foot. But, like, you could push an arm back here, push him against himself. You know, whatever you want, as long as neither feet move, and you don't use other parts of your body. You push, pull. You can push them against their own body, all right? But if you lose, you sit down. If you win, you keep going with someone else, all right? All right, so find a partner right now. I'll tell you to start the first time. We'll go until we get a winner. So find someone. You're going to put your right foot to their right foot. Yeah, just like that. Perfect. And put your feet shoulder-width apart. Shoulder-width apart. Right foot to right foot. All right, you start when you want. Don't let anyone give you excuses like I have arthritis or something, whatever Jack was saying. Excuses. Wow, I see people being thrown into the chairs. It's good. All right, if you lose, sit down. If you win, go against someone else. All right, start at your own accord. So far, I see our... You guys got to go against each other, man. You'll be a good match. Yeah. Dang. Tate is dominating up here, all right? Oh, here we go. Here we go. You might have met his match, man, right here. Yeah, you shoulder width. All right, go. Oh, Tate took him down. All right, who has left, sir? Right here. These guys are good. Well, these guys are good. I like this. It's a good one, dude. It's like you guys are like doing a ballet recital with each other. All right, this guy, Steven. Well, you guys go, and then the winner plays Steven. No. It's like how he had it. No, not like that. Not like that. Like that, but this foot's got to go forward. It's got to be parallel with it. It's like that. Yeah. And this, spread this foot out a little bit. There we go. All right. Go.
Oh, I moved first.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so this is, wait, you guys still in it? You're still in it. All right, you'll play the winner. Ready? Go. I agree with that. All right. So it's down to Solomon and Steven. Look at that, bro. He did. Let's do that again. Let's do that again. Oh, let's start over. Okay. First of all, no matter what, dude, that move was so awesome, Solomon. You already won because your mustache is cooler than his face, all right? So, like, but let's try it again, all right? 3, 2, 1. Oh, all right, give it up for Solomon. Steven played a hard match. Impressive. All right, if you want to play that later on, you can play it. Tate, my money was on you, man. You held on almost right till the end. Hey, an interesting side note is Tate's older brother dates my daughter. Yeah. It's a good thing, dude. I like this guy. This is the first guy my daughter's dated that I like, man. He's a good dude. He should be here giving you a man talk, right? He's a manly guy. All right. All right, so I'm excited to share a little bit with you guys. Let's start with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Jesus, come and bless this time. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for all the things that you have in store for us. Thank you for the ways that you speak to us as guys. That's not always through words. Sometimes it's through weird stuff or doing stuff or food or hanging out. Lord, I ask that you'd be a part of everything this weekend, that you would allow us to have a powerful encounter with you, that you draw us deeper into your love. We pray this in your name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right. So I'm excited to talk to you guys. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about relationship and where that is in the context of your weekend. So let me take this coat off real quick. It's going to be hard to do with a mic, so just hold on. Not intended to be dramatic. It looks kind of dumb doing that in the middle of the talk. All right, but I did want to show you Duke and Altum. I have a tattoo that says Duke and Altum. I got it for you guys this weekend for the, yeah, it's right here, Duke and Altum. All right, not impressed. The girls like that. But anyway, I was excited when I talked to Josh. Is he still in here? All right. That he asked me to speak with you guys. But sometimes this happens. It's kind of weird, like when I like ask, like, what am I talking about? And you see the other talks, and you're like, man, I wish I had that talk because, you know, like, I'm like, I would have liked that better. But, like, I like this a lot. But, like, one of the things you guys are talking about, maybe you've already talked about it. Maybe you're going to talk about it. But it should be one of the main questions, like, of every retreat is identity, you know, like is who are we? and so I'm going to just touch on that in the beginning because I think it's the whole reason that relationship matters. All right. But I want to start like with this little image, my son. So like some of you guys who have seen me before, I've told stories about Toby, my son. He's like y'all's age now, but like he's a weird kid, but he was really weird when he was little. And, you know, like when we'd all be outside, like, playing soccer as a family or something. You know, I'm married with 7 kids, and so five boys, 2 girls. So we'd always be playing games and stuff. We're over here wrestling or playing games or something. And Toby would be like next to a tree, going like, you know, he's just weird, you know. And so he's just always like a weirder kid. And one day we're driving to Austin Lake. Is anyone from around here? Tate's around here. All right, so you know, it's a lake nearby, and we're driving there, and I think we're trying to pray a decade of the rosary, which always ends really bad in my family. I mean, I'm sure you guys have holy families, but I literally feel like further away from God when I try and pray the rosary with my family, you know, because by the end of it, I'm like screaming at my kids, I'm like choking one, you know, anyway, but we were trying to pray a decade of the rosary, and and at the end, whatever my son Toby says, he has this announcement. He's like, I have a new name. And I was like, what is it? And he's Jesus. You know, I was like, Jesus? You know, like, and I thought it was so funny. Like, we were like laughing. But my wife, you know, was like, no, I'm not calling you Jesus, Toby. We're not. And I was like, I'll call you Jesus. I thought it was like so funny, you know. So like for the rest of the day, I'm like calling him Jesus. We went to McDonald's. So what does Jesus want for lunch? You know, nuggets. You know, so here we go. Here we go, Jesus. And, you know, my wife didn't think it was funny, but I thought it was funny. Later that day, we were watching Spider-Man. I don't know which one it was, like all those stupid comic book movies. There's like too many of them, and I can't keep them straight. But we were watching a Spider-Man movie. And at the end of the Spider-Man movie, he again, as an announcement, I have a new name. Oh, what is it now? Spider-Man. You know, so and we laughed and stuff, but like the whole thing was like you could see what was happening here. You're like, oh, he got what was like getting some traction in the house, and then that's like who he wanted to be. And all of us, you know, as boys, like we get that, like we fantasize about being the guy to hit the home run or the buzzer beater or the superhero or this or that. What it like that's like a part of us. Like, you know, we want to be like someone, you know, and that's like not a weird thing. There's another, like, there's a little kid's book. You know, I got a 6-year-old at home, so he was helping me like read this book. He was reading it to me. It's like this stupid book. Some of you probably even like seen it before. It's called Who's My Mama or something. I know you're not going to admit it. The girls were all like, yeah, I know it. One of you admitted it. Anyway, it's like an old book, but like and it's like 10 pages long, but the plot, it's pretty intense. This is what happens. It's like there's this little bird, and he like goes to like you don't know the backstory of like how he got separated from his mama, but you know he like goes up to a pig or something. He's like, "Are you my mama?" And the pig's like, "No," and then the next page, you know, he goes up to like a snake or something. He's like, "Are you my mama?" And the snake says, "No," and then the very last page, like he finds his mama, and he's like, "I'm a bird," you know, like he's just asking like, you know, this question, but really, like, both of those stories point to the fact that, like, the burning question, if not the burning question, like, one of the most important questions to us as humans, and even animals, according to the author of Who Are You My Mama, you know, is, like, you want to know, like, who am I, you know? And most people will spend their entire life just trying to answer that question. Who am I? You know, like those robotic vacuum cleaners, you know what I'm talking about? Roomba or something. Like, you know, you put them on, they just keep going until they hit a wall, and they just turn around and go in another direction, hit a pillar and go in another. You know, like most people live their life like that because they're just, I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know who's my mom. I don't know, like, what I was created for or whatever. And so they just, I'm going to go towards this thing today. This thing seems shiny and cool, and I'll go for that. And then if that doesn't fulfill me, I'll go towards something else. And people just live their whole life like that, bouncing off of stuff, and then they're dead. You know. And so you have this really unique opportunity today, like, as young men being here, like, that we could, like, come around that question. You know, because if you could identify what that answer is, and if you could stay faithful to what that answer is, then your life from a young age has meaning, where oftentimes old men on their deathbed are figuring out, oh, that was the meaning for life. You know, so like you have like a beautiful opportunity that not dependent on if you're a sinner or you're good or bad at this or whatever. It's just if you know who you are, like that is huge. You know, that's the question, you know. And it's not just the author of Who's My Mama or, you know, Toby who wonders about this. You know, like there's a story that I'm sure you've heard before, but I'll tell you again, or maybe you've heard before, maybe you haven't. But it's St. Francis, one of our greatest saints, okay? Holy, amazing guy. We've got statues of him everywhere. I'm sure there's one in this building somewhere. But, you know, like, he's got the stigmata, started the Franciscan order. I mean, just like a revolutionary in the church, like did so much for our church, knew God so well. And so, but people would always like hear stuff like, well, at night, Francis does this. He stays up all night and prays, or he floats around, or he does, you know, like people hear like at nighttime, Francis like was experiencing God in this amazing way. And so one of his brothers, I think it was Bernard, like wanted to, these brothers in his order wanted to see what happened. So he faked being asleep until Francis, you know, thought he was asleep. And then he saw Francis get out of his bed and he just knelt down in front of a cross. And he said just all night long, all he said was, who are you, God, and who am I? Who are you, God, and who am I? And I mean, he's just back, these simple, not simple, but like these somewhat seemingly simple. You know, like when I think of like church greats, when I even think of like people, you know, today that I think, oh man, they're holy. Like I think, man, in their prayer time, they're probably like pondering, you know, the depths of the, you know, the heart of God, you know, just things I can't even think of, you know, like I'm just trying to like not get distracted or fall asleep or, you know, like understand what I'm reading in the Bible. And this makes me feel so good because I think, hey, dude, here's a church great, St. Francis. And he's asking like such a basic question. Who am I? I mean, even Francis saying, who am I, God? Who are you? Like that was the what he was just over and over again. Tell me, who are you? Tell me, who am I? And I think there's a part of us that we think, well, if I had something, you know, if I had experience with Francis, you know, like this is the guy you know, the wounds of Christ appeared on his body. You know, his hands and feet aside bled. You know, and he's still asking, like, who am I? Like, you'd think that you'd be like, oh, well, you should know who you are, dude. God has done miracles in your life. And I think sometimes we think, well, man, if I saw a miracle, like, I would never doubt again. I would know that God was real. I would know who I am. I would know that the things that the Bible tells me I am, I would believe all that stuff because I saw a miracle. But it's just really not true. Like, I'm one of the things I'm doing this year is I'm reading, there's like this Bible, read the Bible in a year, and I'm going through the Old Testament now, and there's lots of weird stuff in the Old Testament, but one of the things that I've realized is that the Israelites, when they were free, you know, God frees them from the Pharaoh in Egypt, right? And they see the weirdest crap, like you know, like the sea splits in front of them. You know, they saw these plagues. You know, God shows Moses how to do all these things. He throws his stick down; it turns into a snake, and he taps water, a rock, and water comes out. Even after they leave, you know, like during the night, a giant pillar all the way up to the sky of made of flames leads them where they need to go. During the night, it's a giant pillar of, I mean, the day is a giant pillar of clouds. Every morning they wake up to bread raining down from heaven. You know, it's like the craziest stuff. And yet, as soon as Moses goes away for a couple days, they're like, ah, screw this. This probably isn't real. Let's just like melt down our jewelry and make a cow and worship that. You know, like you would think like, dude, are you guys idiots? You know what I mean? Like you just like, you know that God's real. He just did all this crazy stuff. And yet, you know, like a couple days go by without Moses and you think like, let's just worship a golden cow. I mean, and it seems so stupid, but really it's just showing us like miracles are like little cool gifts of God, but they don't, it's not a lifelong identity thing. Okay. Like another example, like I have a buddy who, you know, he had some pretty wild miracles happen in his life when he was a kid. So this is a good friend of mine. This isn't like a story of a story or something I read. This is a good friend of mine. His dad was paralyzed at a chiropractor when he was young. It was something went wrong, and he lived in like a kind of a nursing home for the next like 8 years. And he had all these surgeries, so many surgeries, scars all over his chest and his back. They had to remove one of his lungs. Like it was horrible. And one day my friend prayed with his dad, like, and he like told his mom he felt like his dad was going to be healed. And the next day, like, his dad was healed. And not just like his dad could walk, like he didn't have scars on his chest. He had both lungs in his body, you know. And you know, you something like that happened, like, you know, like if that happened to you, like I'd be like, oh my gosh, dude, I'm in. Like I this is the rest of my life. Like I will never doubt you again, God. Like I will know that you are the real deal forever and ever. Like you don't ever have to do another thing for me. You know, if I up right here right now just said, watch this, guys, this is the power of God, and I shot flames out of my fingers and floated around the room, you know, all of us would think like, whoa, dude, I'm never gonna doubt God again. That was so crazy. You know, but my buddy, I asked him, like, so like are you your sisters and your brother, they like is into their faith as you? And he's like, no, actually no one in my family like still goes to church. Or like, really, dude? Like after like experiencing a miracle? But like this is our history as humans. Like we're so forgetful. Like one thing may happen today and then tomorrow we're like, oh, I forgot about that. You know, like Chris Stefanik, a buddy of mine who gives talks, like sometimes he has this quote where he says, like, you know, sometimes people say, like, I would believe, like, if God just like gave me a sign, if God just showed me like something, like to show that he loved me. And he says, like, have you not noticed everything? You know, like you look around, like it's like all of nature, all like everything we have, God does all these things, and yet we forget who he is, we forget who we are. So I like to propose to you that, I don't want to make it seem like there's no hope. Like you're going to forget who God is and you're going to forget your identity no matter what. So just this retreat doesn't matter. Like that's not what I'm saying. It does matter. And in fact, it matters more than anything else. But it wouldn't matter if every one of you God branded, you know, your bicep that you belong to him. We'd still forget. Like we're just forgetful people and we're fickle and we fall away so easily. It's just like it's our nature, unfortunately. There's one way you could remember, and that way is through relationship. Honest to God, it's the way. And the reason relationship works is, you know, because it's ongoing, it's continual. You know, like I've been married for 20 years. my relationship isn't perfect, but it's you know, it's continual. It's faithful. It's there. You know, like I don't forget that I'm married. I don't forget that, like, I have a wife who loves me. I don't forget that I'm a father because, like, I see my wife every day. We converse, you know, we kiss, we hang out, we eat together. Like, all those things, those parts of relationship remind me who I am. It's not like at the end of work, I'm like, well, what do I do now? I forget. You know, like, I know, like, I'm going back to my wife. Like, this is who I am. Like, this, I'm a husband. You know, this is something I've been called to. And so I want to say, like, if you want any kind of hope that you remember who you are, all right, then you've got to have a relationship with God. And relationship is harder for us as guys, I think, on some degrees than it is for the ladies. Like, ladies just are more used to relationship. You know, you put two girls together in a room, and they'll have a blast. They'll just turn their chairs towards each other and just talk for hours, you know. For guys, a lot of times, like, our relationship isn't, like, our first thing, you know what I mean? Like, we might both, like, laugh over farts or, like, something, or, like, or like, want to do something or whatever, but, like, it's maybe not as innate in us as it is with the ladies. But that doesn't mean that we don't need it more, and it doesn't mean that like there aren't some things that like we have that are great advantages for us as men too. We're passionate. We're committed. Like if we tap into that stuff, like there's a passion that God has given us as men that we have that is a beautiful, beautiful gift. But what I would like to do just for these next few minutes is look at some different levels of relationship in the scriptures, because like we see there's different like kinds of relationship, and I'm going to ask you to like to consider your relationship with God, and that's a very like retreaty thing to do. Like, well, think about your relationship with God. What does he look like? Or, you know, what number are you on a scale of 1 to 10 with God? And I'm not going to ask you to do that, but I'm going to ask you to think about like where your relationship is. So one of the first images that I remember seeing in relationally in the Bible, hearing about it, even though there's like a song about it, was just this idea of the potter and the clay. You know, I'm sure you've heard that before. Like, you know, like God says, like, you know, I'm the potter, you're the clay. Like we're like clay in the hands of a potter. And that's kind of cool. Like making stuff is cool, right? You think about like, I wouldn't know how to do that. Like the clay on the wheel, the guy spinning it, and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and it makes something cool. You know, I mean, it's cool. You know, like that God is making something cool out of this lumpy mess that we are. Like there's something that's awesome about that image, and just thinking about God, like, you know, wanting to be a part of our life. He's not just spinning the wheel and laughing as it like goes out of control. That's some people see God like that. Like he just spun the world and like sitting in heaven, like those idiots, you know, like, but like there's something comforting to know that God wants to work with us. He wants to work in us. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty weird relationship. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say a lot of, like if there was a potter in right here, right now, I'd be like, talk about your relationship with this lump of clay. Like, you know, you wouldn't be like, this lump of clay has been like with me for a long time and we've gone through a lot of things together. You know, it's just a lump of clay. Like, you know, so like there's a level of that relationship where it kind of feels like, it's kind of cool, but like, it's kind of weird. I don't like thinking about myself as a lump of clay. It's a pretty passive relationship on the part of the clay. It's just plopped there, you know, like God is doing his thing, you know. So that's one level, right? Perhaps it's a level you feel like you're at. Another level, another image that we see is Christ is the good shepherd, you know, like God, you know, in the field with holding a little sheep, you know, like here tucked under the arm, you know. But like even that, we hear about Jesus saying like, you know, I'll go after the lost one. My sheep hear my voice. They recognize me as their shepherd. Like I'm the good shepherd. All those things, they're good. They're comforting. But, you know, if you've ever heard before, I mean, like sheep are kind of dumb. Like they're not like a really awesome animal. They smell bad. They're forgetful. You know, it's like things that like I'm describing us as like we're forgetful, kind of silly people. And so it makes sense. I get it. You know, Jesus needs to hold us close to him in order for us to really know the shepherd, to smell him, to get his voice. And it's an upgrade from clay. Like at least we're something that's living here. You know, even though it might be like a dumb living thing, at least it's alive. You know, so that could be where you're at. After that, like we get into like a relationship where at least we're like a human, where he talks about like that we are servants of God. You know, he says things like no slave can serve two masters. You know, but the image of a slave, it's not a great one, right? Like we think of a slave and like, well, I don't like rejoice in the idea that I can be a slave of God. But again, there's something there that like makes sense for us, you know. And I think for guys, like this is a real trap, guys, that you get stuck in that role as a slave. And again, There's nothing wrong with serving God or being a servant of God, but a slave has like tasks. A servant has tasks. It's like do this, clean the floor, you know, change the oil, bring me my food, you know, whatever. They're like, okay, yep, I could do that. It's an easy thing, and especially for guys, man, because we get into doing stuff. It's much easier. Like if someone said, hey, for the next hour, I want you to like build this table, you know, or for the next hour, I want you to sit and talk to the next door neighbor on the porch. You know, most of us would be like, oh, I'll build the table. You know, like it's not always like, but it, and this is concrete. I got it done. I put the nails in. I swept the floor. It's done. You know, and there's a lot of people that like, even in the church, like I've worked for the church in the last 20 years, and there's a lot of times I think, man, I'm doing a lot of things for God. I'm checking things off. I took people on retreat. You know, I did this. I wrote a song for God. I even did that. You know, and you could check a lot of boxes and do a lot of stuff and still not have a very close relationship with God. So we've got to be careful as guys, because this is one, I think it's a temptation for us to just be like, yep, I did it. I prayed this rosary today, and I did this thing for God, and I volunteered at the soup kitchen. Boom, good relationship with God. You know, I could tell you, guys, I got a great relationship with my wife. You know, I woke up this morning, and I cleaned the toilet, and then I cooked eggs for her, and tonight, like, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to clean the windows. You know, like, and you might be like, oh, wow, he loves his wife. That's cool. I love her. It doesn't mean I have a good relationship with her just because I do stuff for her. You know, like, and so there's that element of relationship there. Finally, we get to what I think most of us are, like, shooting for. Maybe some of you even feel like you're at this state, like, where we can be a friend of God. Like, that's a crazy thing, you know, like the fact that we get offered, here's God, he's infinite, he's giant, he's powerful, he's all-knowing, you know, and he invites me, you know, Bob Lesniewski down here in Ohio, like, to be his friend. I mean, that's crazy, all right? But like, God offers us a friendship. You know, in the scripture says, I no longer call you a slave, but a friend. In the Old Testament, where I'm talking about Moses, it was so crazy that Moses got to be friends with God. It says, you know, when Moses would meet with the Lord, it said he talked to him as one man would talk to another man, as a friend would talk. You know, but even still back then, like, it was so crazy, the idea of being a friend of God, that when one time Moses says, can I see your face? And God says to Moses, you can't see my face because, like, if you saw my face, it would kill you. It's so powerful. Like, that's how big and powerful God is. But he says, but what I'll do is I'll hide you here right by this rock. You hide your face behind the rock, and then I'll tell you when I walk by you, and you could see my back. You know, I'll let you see my back, and that will be enough. And so he walks by the rock, and he says, okay, look. And Moses sees just God's back. All right, and it's so powerful that when Moses comes down from the mountain, the people can't even look at Moses because he saw God's back. He's got to wear a veil over his face, you know, from there on out, because, like, he just saw the back of God. All right, you know, so, like, this is how powerful, like, God is inviting all of us in this room now. It's not just Moses, not just one guy. He invites all of us in this room to be his friend. Like, there's so much power in that, and so much of our identity can be drawn from that, but a lot of us, we struggle with the idea that we can befriend, and some of us, we see, like, that's the ultimate goal. Maybe some of us see, like, we're there. But there's one more level, and this is the level that saints get to. This is the level that very few of us get to, because it's hard to imagine that God would invite us to this kind of intimacy. But he says, I invite you to be my lover. Now, this is weird, I think, as guys, to, like, think about. Like, it's definitely more, like, I think that, you know, the girls can maybe relate to it sometimes a little bit more. Not that, like, we're not looking for love, or, you know, we don't want to be intimate with someone ever. But, like, it's just, like, when I think of a lover, I think, like, people making out. You know, I think, like, I don't want to make out with Jesus, man. It's weird. Like, it seems, you know, but, like, it's literally, like, he's like, those are the images, like, we see. Like, we open up the Song of Songs. Like, it's like stuff that, like, would make your butt sweat, you know? Like, you're like opening up that book. And, I mean, there's, like, stuff in there that you're like, whoa. I mean, I can't believe that's in the Bible. It's talking about, like, intimate stuff, you know, in the Song of Songs. And the whole reason it's in there, because, like, you think, like, man, why do we even put that in the Bible? It's kind of weird, you know? But the whole reason why is because, not because God was saying, I want to make out with you, but God was saying, I want to offer you, like, this level of intimacy. You know, I tell you about my wife a little bit. I talk to you about my family. But you know what I don't ever talk about, like, is, like, making out with my wife. Like, I'm not like, hey, guys, you know, when I make out with my wife, it's so awesome, dude. Like, we do this, and, you know, like, you know, like, the reason why is because, like, that's like for me and her. You know, that's the whole reason, you know, I got married, is so that I can have intimacy with my wife that's different from anyone else. You know, like, that we would know each other like no one else knows us. And that's what intimacy of lovers is, you know. Like, my wife is the only woman I've ever been with like that, you know, and I'm the only guy she ever been will ever be with like that, you know. And so there's something powerful there that, like, God is saying, like, I want to know you like no one else knows you. Like, I want to see you. I want you to see me like no one else has ever seen me. Like, there's something powerful there that, like, me and my wife have a bond that, like, I couldn't even put into words, you know. But, like, we can have an intimate time being together, just being quiet, just on a road trip together, not even talking, You know, like that's the kind of intimacy that lovers have, okay? So I know for a lot of guys, like, we don't think about, like, oh, I want to be a lover of God. It just seems weird. But, like, God wants to know you in a way that no one else knows you, okay? And it goes beyond words. It goes beyond, you know, touch. It goes beyond any of that stuff. It goes to this fact that, like, there's a deep part of your heart that, like, God wants to reveal to you, and he wants you to reveal to him. These are your options, okay? Like that God, you know, God will take any relationship with you. You know what I mean? Like if your relationship with God consists of showing up on Sunday at church and doing this and putting the water on your face and sitting in the pew and not paying attention, you know, looking up once in a while, God will take what you offer him because he loves you that much. He's like waited with bated breath, you know, like it's kind of like if you've ever been like really into a girl before who doesn't even know like you exist. You know, there's a part of you, like I remember a girl in college, I just thought she was like so like good looking, and I like was so like nervous to actually talk to her, but she was from Trinidad and she was like she had this crazy voice and she was so pretty, and I would like sit behind her just because she'd pass the paper back. It was like so nice to just look in her eyes and be like, thank you, you know. But like that's God will take it. You know, if that's all you're giving God, you know, the quick look, you know, God will take it. But God is offering you so much more like than that limited relationship that so many of us, that's just what we give God. You know, like if most of us treated God, treated a friend or a girlfriend the way we treat him, that friend wouldn't be with us, you know, just show up an hour a week, sit at a friend's house, not listen, you know, maybe fall asleep, and then, you know, when the hour's up, run out of the house, or maybe mumble something to a friend as we're falling asleep. You know, like, most of our friends would be like, this is weird. I'm not hanging out with you anymore. You know, like, God doesn't do that because he is patient. He's a patient, kind, merciful, generous God. But you have an opportunity, like, to figure out who you are, to go into the deep, that Duke and Altum, you know. Most people live their whole lives on the surface, like those stupid little vacuum robots, okay, just bouncing off of crap and hoping that, like, they'll find something that'll make them happy. But, like, you have this incredible opportunity here today, this weekend, as guys, to really look at, like, who am I? To have God speak that into your heart, because that's the way it should be, is that God, you know, speaks that to us, and we could, like, rest our lives, stake our lives on that truth. I like you, like, when you guys get to discuss a little bit, like, in your groups or however you do your small group breakdown at the end of this, just to think about two things. One, like, where do you see yourself on all those levels of relationship, the clay, the sheep, the slave, the friend, the lover? Like, what can you connect with there? Where do you see yourself? And then the last thing is this. I talked to you about those images in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, it's kind of crazy and wild and stuff like that. But I was reading the last couple of days, like, in Leviticus, and it's another weird book. I was, like, asking my wife, like, man, I wonder why they kept this in there. It's like, so weird, like, all these weird things. Like, this morning I read about, it said that, like, God asked Moses to dip his finger in, like, ox blood and to, like, anoint Aaron, to anoint the great toe of Aaron's right foot, you know. So he touches Aaron's right foot with this ox blood. I mean, it's just like the details are so intricate, you know. And you're like, that's kind of weird. Maybe he just thought that was funny. I don't know, you know. But like, regardless, like, it's in there, and like, so it begs the question for me, like, why is all this stuff in there? Like, it talks about there's this tent, this tent of the holies of holies. And this tent is where God's presence dwelled. They had the Ark of the Covenant in there. And when Moses would go talk to God, listen to this. When Moses would go talk to God, no one else was allowed in the tent. It was only Moses. When Moses would just go head towards talking to God, everyone would have to come out of their tent, and they'd watch him the whole time until you go into the tent. And then the tent would kind of glow with, like, the fire of God, and they would just have to stay and watch it as long as Moses was in there, until Moses left and went back to his tent, and then they can go back about their duties. It's just because that was about as close as they can get to God, that there was one guy that could go in there and talk to God, and everyone else, the closest you got was watching someone else go and talk to God. You know, it was like if Daniel here was like, I'm like, guys, Daniel's the only one who gets to talk to God. Like, all of us would be like, hey, Daniel, could you tell God that, like, I'm sorry for those things I was thinking about last night. Or, hey, Daniel, could you tell God, like, I could use some prayers for this test I have? You know, like, Daniel just goes in there, he's like, hey, Bob wants this, and, you know, whatever. That's kind of how it was. You know, it was like there was one person, the holiest guy, he would get to go into this tent. And, in fact, it was so powerful in there that they would tie a rope around him, you know, so that if he were accidentally to see the face of God, he would die instantly. They would just pull him out by the rope. That was what they did in this tent, okay? And today, what do we have? Like, not only do all of us get to enter this place, you know, the church, you know, where God's presence literally is, but we get to eat God. We don't just get to look at God, we get to eat him. Like, could you imagine back then? I was like, oh, hey, guys, you know, not only do you guys all get to come inside the tent now, we're going to get to eat God and drink his blood. Like, I'll always be like, what? Like, what changed, you know? Well, what changed is Jesus came, and, like, he's like, I'm giving all access to everyone. Doesn't even matter, like, if you are good, bad. I want everyone to be invited into this, and that's what you guys have. Like, you have this opportunity to eat and drink the blood of God, whereas before people could only watch as one person headed towards God. So my second question is, like, do you take it for granted? Like, is there maybe something that you could do more to appreciate the fact that God offers you himself, you know, and that for centuries, for thousands and thousands of years, people just dreamed about God noticing them, you know, and God notices you today. So those two questions about relationship, who do you see yourself in all those biblical images, and where are you at? Are you taking advantage of the fact that God offers you the opportunity in the sacraments to receive him? Let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, thank you for this time together. I thank you for all the men in this room. Lord, I pray that you would speak loud and clear to us who we are, that you'd speak to us about who we are, and that you would remind us of who you are, and that those two truths, that the answers to those two questions would, they would guide our lives, that nothing else would matter as much as knowing the answer to those two things, whether we're good or bad at something, whether we make money or have people who like us, it doesn't matter, Lord. Let us come around those two truths more than we come around anything else, and that our identity would flow from that relationship with you. Thank you for even wanting a relationship with us, noticing us. We're so weird and dumb often times, but we thank you that you care, that you keep seeking us out. We thank you for your generosity, your love, your patience, and we pray that this weekend would be a powerful time of encounter with you, that we would meet you on that mountain like Moses did, and that you'd burn brightly in an encounter with us this weekend. We love you. Amen. All right, I'll be praying for you guys the rest of the weekend. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. Peace.